Welcome to Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Good morning, friends. I didn't get the memo either. I'm dressed pretty bland compared to these guys, but I should have worn one of my African shirts. That might have helped. Anyway, it's good to be here. I want to thank Pastor Brent for letting me share this message with you, because he knows my passion for what God is doing around the world. And so I hope I can share that a bit with you today as we look into God's Word together. We're going to focus today on making Jesus known globally, or making Jesus famous globally. But I'm going to start with a question. How are your investments doing? Now, that's a weird question. How are your investments doing? I know that my pension funds have taken a bit of hit in the last couple of years. And I know that when the market goes up and down, I kind of follow that a bit, because I'm pretty invested in getting a pension. What happens in the economy and what happens in the stock market can really sometimes impact us because we're invested there. But you know, Jesus knew about investments too. In fact, someone has said about a sixth of Jesus' teachings talk about how we steward the resources he entrusts to us, our time, our abilities and talents, and our financial resources. So about a sixth of his teachings are on those subjects. Let's listen to what Jesus said. He talks about an investment that is guaranteed to yield forever and that is 100% secure. I sure want to invest in that kind of thing. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus encourages us here to invest in what lasts eternally, what lasts forever. And that investment will produce forever. But what are those things? What lasts forever? Well, as I've looked at Scripture, I've discovered two things. Now, maybe you can find more, but I've discovered two things. One of the things that's going to last forever is the Word of God. Jesus said in the Scriptures, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." His word endures forever. So perhaps we should be investing in the word of the Lord. Another thing that will last forever are the souls of people. People's souls will endure forever. Jesus said this in the parable of the sheep and the goats, the judgment of the sheep and the goats at the end of time. Jesus said, of the one group, the unrighteous, that they would go away to eternal punishment. And of the other group, he said, the righteous, they would go to eternal life. Eternal punishment or eternal life. The souls of people will last forever. Today, we want to help you understand ways of investing in what lasts for eternity. We're going to talk about making Jesus known globally, or making Jesus famous globally. Our focus is on this topic during these months. And as we invest, in God's global mission, we will have a passion for that mission.
Wow.
Okay. Were you able to hear me up till now?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. As we invest globally in God's mission, we will have passion for that mission.
So, stick this in my pocket. Okay.
You know, I learned something in Africa. Never rely on technology. It never works as you plan on it. Anyway, but today I want to encourage you in making Jesus known globally. We invest in making Jesus known globally because it's central to God's heart. It's at the core of God's heart and passion. Okay. Try that. If I put it in my pocket, it won't work now, but anyway. We're going to read scripture together now to see what God's heart is. And I've asked Andrew and Maya to come and help me with the readings. Andrew can get a mic from up here, I guess. And you guys can stand down on the floor if you want, or you can stand up here. It's up to you. Okay? And we're going to read together the scriptures in three groups. I'm going to be with group one, which is this side of the congregation. Pastor Andrew will be with the middle group, and Maya will be with this group here, all the way back into the gym. Now, we expect to hear lots of good reading from this side, because you're double what the rest of us are. Anyway, so I'm going to ask you to stand as we read the scriptures, and on the screen, you will see parts of verses and references, and you will see parts of scripture that are in bold print. I'm asking you to read only the part in bold print. Do you get that? Do not read the references. Do not read the scripture, other parts of the scripture verse, but just read the part that's in bold print when it's your group's turn to read. And I will lead this group, group one. Pastor Andrew will lead group two, and Maya will lead group three. Okay? Let's give it a try. You read with me, you read with him, and you read with her. Okay? Let's go. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Read with me.
All nations on earth will be blessed through him. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I have raised you up for this...
Just a minute, Andrew. You're reading all of them. Okay, Maya, go ahead with your group.
Okay. So all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring.
Okay. I'm group one, right? I have raised you for this very purpose, that I might show my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.
He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful.
And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel.
So that all the peoples of the earth
ask of me, and I will make your nations your inheritance.
All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him.
All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him.
All the nations are your inheritance.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory.
Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other.
I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God.
My name will be great among the nations from the rising of the setting of the sun, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty.
And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations?
And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem.
The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him.
Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel, so that all nations might believe and obey him.
The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you.
Because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation.
After this, I looked. Are you with me? Is it there? Okay. After this, I looked. That says group two. Mine says group one, but that's okay. Go ahead, Randu. Okay, thank you.
Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.
And altogether, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their splendor into it. Thank you. Friends, what did you notice about that reading? Probably you noticed that it covered the whole of Scripture, Genesis through Revelation. And the other thing I trust you noticed is that God's heart is that all nations be represented before him on that final glorious day when we stand before him in glory. God's heart is for the nations. He wants all people to be represented before him. Did you get that? It was repeated over and over and over again. Dr. Chris Wright is a fellow who writes a lot about the theology of missions. Now, God's heart is for the nations. God wants to see every nation represented before his throne. But he's chosen to do that through us, his people, the church. We are God's method. God doesn't give us a mission to do. God lets us participate in his mission. Did you get that? God doesn't give us a mission to do as a church. God invites us to participate in his mission of bringing the nations to himself. Chris Wright put it this way: it is not that God has a mission for his church in the world, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. Let that sink in for a bit. God wants you and me to be engaged in what touches his heart, what his mission is. Since the creation of humankind, God has been seeking a people for himself. God has been seeking to restore the creation that he originally created to what his original purpose was in creation. God is seeking to have us join him in bringing people to himself and restoring his original good creation. Now, in our church, we recognize two aspects of this engagement in God's mission. The first one is taking to the message of God's salvation to the people around us, people who are like us, people who are similar to us, people of the same language and culture, our Jerusalem, those people that are here with us, that we rub shoulders with every day. And we call that in our church evangelism. And when we talk about missions, we talk about taking God's message cross-culturally to people who are from a different culture, language, geographical location. So we have to cross cultural barriers, language barriers, or geographical barriers to take the message of Jesus to these people. And that's how we as a church define mission. Mission can be defined in many ways, but that's how Spruce Grove Alliance Church defines mission. But how can I, little old me living in Meadowview Court in Spruce Grove, make a difference with the nations of the world? That's a huge task. What can I do? How can I engage? It's a challenge sometimes for us, but we can maintain an interest and a focus on God's mission by making an investment in that mission, so that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And as we invest in what's important to God's heart, our hearts will engage. So why do we invest globally? Well, first of all, as you saw in the reading, very obviously, it's God's heart that all nations be represented before the throne. But you know, we face a challenge as the Church of Jesus Christ today. And the challenge is this: that not everybody has access to the message of Jesus yet. Oh, we think they do, but not everybody can access the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. About a third of the world's population have little or no opportunity yet to hear about Jesus. They don't know about him. And how can they know about him unless somebody tells them? And somebody has to cross cultural and geographical barriers in order to take the message to them. I often hear people here say, there are so many people around us that need Jesus. That's right. And we need to be involved in evangelism and taking the message to them. There's so much need in our society. Why do we spend so much money and so much time and so much energy and spend the big bucks to send people across the world when there's so much need right here? I hear that comment often. And I think I'd like to try and answer that question this morning. It's because there is an inequality of access to Jesus that we have to engage both here and there. It's not either or, it's both and. Both in evangelism and in mission. I've asked 10 people to come up to the stage and help me with a little illustration here. So those that said, the 10 people that said you'd come, please come forward now. And I would like three of you to stand over here, right about here, okay? Three. I would like four of you to stand in the middle here, and the other three to stand over here on this side, okay? So we should have 10 people. If we don't, I'll just call on somebody else to come and join me. You can stand in the middle. We need one more over there, and we need two more here. Okay, we've got them. Great. I counted right. Excellent. Okay, these people, we have the 10, but we need one more there. Right, thanks. Okay. These people represent our world population. 30% of the world population have access to Jesus. Now, I'm going to just give you a little sign to hold for me. You have access to the message about Jesus, okay? This is the 30% of the world population that live in what are called Christian countries or who claim to be called Christians. Now, they might not all be very devoted Christians. They might be Christian in name only. They might be Christian because they were born into a Christian family. They might be Christian for any number of reasons, but they do have access to the message about Jesus. Now, the 40% of the world population represents those who have rejected, they have access to Jesus, but they've rejected that access to Jesus. They've rejected the message, or their culture, their society has kind of left it behind. So they represent about 40% of the world's population. And the ones with no access to Jesus are these people over here. 30% of the population has no access to Jesus. That means about 2 billion people in our world don't have access to Jesus. What does that mean? There's no scripture in their language. There's no gospel resources in their language. There are no churches in their culture or society, or very few. And there aren't people, believers, living near them who can tell them about Jesus. They're in the dark, so to speak, about the message of Jesus. Now, I've got a couple bins here that represent the resources that we spend in getting the message to the world population. Okay? One bin represents the missionaries that we send or the workers that we send to these areas. And the other bin represents the dollars that we send to those areas. Now, I'm going to divide out the missionaries first, and this is the missionaries that we send to take the message of Jesus to people in these different parts of the world. Those that have access to Jesus, 72% of the missionary population, let's see, that's it, okay, yeah. 72% of the population, of the missionaries that are sent, go to people that have access to Jesus. Just a minute, I think I got one wrong. Is there a name on one of them? No? Okay. No. 20, 40, 60, 72%. Right? Yeah. Okay, good. That is right. 72%. 25% go to the people that have kind of rejected access to Jesus, and only 3% are going to those that have no access. This is where we send our missionaries. This bin represents our finances. A whopping 87%. Now, you guys are going to have to... Okay. 87% goes to this area of the world. And And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12%, I think. 87 and 12, yeah, 12% goes to this part. 1% of our mission dollars, this is every dollar given to missions, is going to these people. Friends, I'm deeply touched when I think about this picture. I'm deeply touched because it shows a great inequality of access to Jesus. There are a lot of people in the world, a third of the world's population almost, who don't have access, don't have resources to know about Jesus. And you know, folks, you can just put those things here and I'll take care of them later. Okay. Just go ahead and then you can go down. I think this is the biggest injustice that we as the church in North America need to face. We talk about justice issues. I think the biggest injustice is that there are so many people in the world who don't have the opportunity to hear the message about Jesus. What are we going to do about it? Well, let's look at a map here and just see. This map represents where those people live. Notice where the red band is. The next slide represents the distribution of the red dots, of people groups that don't have access to Jesus. Notice where the band is. North and West Africa, Middle East, South Asia, and Southeast Asia. These are some of the hardest places in the world to go and take Jesus' message. These are also some of the places that are the poorest places in the world. Sometimes the most difficult to get into. Sometimes the most difficult to live in. And yet, we need to bring access to Jesus to those people. How can we do that? Well, let's conclude today. Well, what can we do about this great need? How can you help? It's not either or, not evangelism or mission. We don't need to forget about doing what we're doing here so we can concentrate over there. It's doing both at the same time. I want to encourage you to begin investing in making Jesus known globally. I want you to encourage you to invest some time in that, some resources in that, some finances in that, or in whatever way God might prompt you. Maybe He'll prompt you to go to one of those least reached areas in South Asia. And take your bulletin right now, and I'd like you to open it, if you got one, to the sermon page. And on the sermon page, there is a checklist. If you didn't get it, we'll be walking through this checklist, and you can jot a note of what God is impressing on your heart. But these are 7 investment opportunities for making Jesus known globally. How can you make Jesus known globally? How can you be involved in that? And I'm going to walk through these 7 things together with you, and it'll give you an opportunity to consider what God might say to you about investing globally in His mission. I want you to prayerfully consider that. I'm going to pray right now. Father, we thank You that You have a passion to see people from every tribe, kindred, tongue, nation, language group, whatever. You want to see them represented around Your throne. We thank You for that, Father, for Your heart for people. And we thank You that the souls of people will last through eternity. And now we're before an investment choice. How can we invest in Your kingdom purposes? I ask that You would guide our hearts and minds as we consider these next 7 opportunities, and that You would indicate to each of us, to me, to each one of us, how I can be involved, what do you want me to do to bring access to Jesus to those who don't yet have an opportunity? So, Father, speak to our hearts by your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to walk through these 7 investment opportunities, and I want you to prayerfully consider them. And I want you to put a check mark if you have a bulletin, or to write down or jot a note or somehow do something that's going to help you remember what God is impressing on your heart. Okay? So I'm going to ask you to put a check mark in the box beside the one or two that you feel God would like you to begin investing in for taking his message to those who don't have access to Jesus. Okay. Let's walk through them. First one is the Kairos course. You can take the Kairos course that's offered in our church here, and it helps you better understand the global situation. It helps you understand how to communicate the message of Jesus cross-culturally with people. It helps you understand what mission is all about. So next fall, we are hoping to offer the Kairos course in October through November. And if you would like to participate, please watch for that and sign up for it. If you have questions about it, please ask me. The second thing you can do is pray regularly for the unreached people of the day. There is an app that you can get through Google Play or the Apple App Store. And you can get an app called The Unreached of the Day, and you will get a notification on your phone about a group of people who don't yet have access to Jesus, and you can pray for them. They even give you prayer suggestions and a little bit about that people. Also available is a podcast of The Unreached of the Day, if you would prefer to hear it instead of have it on an app. Or you can get an email notification, and you can check the QR code there or the website, and that would help you understand how you can pray for the least reached or the people with less access to Jesus every day. Or you could start or join a group prayer group that focuses specifically on those without access to Jesus. This would be a great growth group opportunity in the fall. Is there someone here that God is impressing that you should lead such a group? That you should start such a group in our church? Or is there someone here that God is prompting you to say, I would like to do this. I would like to get involved in this. Why don't you check that box? You can begin to give to the Global Missions Fund of our church. What is that? What does that do? Well, the Global Mission Fund is what we use in our church to support our 250 international workers who are all working with at least one of the groups of people who don't yet have access to Jesus. Every global worker of the Christian Missionary Alliance has to have an identified group of people who don't have access to Jesus that they're working with. So when you give to our Global Missions Fund, you are giving to people who don't have access to Jesus yet, because the international workers that receive those funds are working with those people. If you would like to learn how you can identify who our workers are, talk to myself or Pastor Joel. We'd be happy to show you on our CMA Canada website how you can know who the international workers are and how you can individually support a worker that God has laid on your heart. But as you invest in these workers and in the Global Missions Fund, your heart will follow that. You will find yourself praying more for global work. You will find yourself engaged more for God's global work. So you can invest by giving to the Global Missions Fund. Another way you can invest some of your time and maybe some of your giftings If you like to communicate with people, you could participate in digital mentoring. What's digital mentoring? Well, I'm a coach with the Christian Missionary Alliance Digital Mentoring Program that we have in South Asia. Do you remember that map with all those red areas? A big part of that was South Asia. And you can begin to, you go through a vetting process where you have to apply, and you go through a training process, and then you will become a mentor for that ministry. We are partnered with Power to Change, and Power to Change has a website for digital mentoring. And Power to Change also advertises in the region that is the target region. For us, it's South Asia. They advertise a website called mystruggles.in. And people can go on that site, and if they're struggling with something in their life, they can say, I'd like to talk to a mentor about, and they indicate what their struggle is. Then I, as a mentor, receive that notification, and I can enter into a communication with this person all the way on the other side of the world, and I can walk with them on their journey as they struggle with their lives. And I'm totally free as God prompts me and as He lays it on my heart and I'm praying for these people, I can totally free to begin to introduce the message about Jesus as I sense God wants me to. And I've had some great opportunities to connect with people, not only in South Asia, but even in West Africa through this program. So you could become a digital mentor. And if you'd like to do that, please talk to me. My contact information is in the bulletin there. And my phone number, I'd be happy to chat with you if that God's laying that kind of ministry on your heart. And then another area in which you can help bring access to Jesus to people in that area that need it is to get involved in reaching out to new Canadians. I don't know about you, but I've noticed a real change from when we went to Africa in 1986 to when we came back in 2017. I've noticed that there are a lot of people from all over the world all around us. In fact, in our little cul-de-sac where we live, we have people from Punjab, Senegal, another African nation, Jamaica, Greece, and the Philippines. Just in a little cul-de-sac right around us. What an opportunity. Many of these people come from a place where those their parents, their relatives, their brothers and sisters don't have access to Jesus. And we can go next door and become a friend with them and introduce them to Jesus so they can introduce their family to Jesus. What an opportunity. International students at the University of Alberta. And Canada has a large international student population. But you know what? There was a statistic a couple years ago that 87% of international students who come to Canada are never invited into a Canadian's home. They never meet a Canadian family. We're missing opportunities. We can bring access to Jesus by being friends with people who need to know Him. International students. Just got a call this week from our daughter. And she works in Niger, Africa. And there's a family there looking for a host family in the Edmonton area who would host their son for his last year of high school and as he starts into his university's career. An opportunity. This is a family from Europe. Not a believer family, but they're looking for a host family. They would prefer a family with young adults in their family, so their son would have somebody to relate to. We have these opportunities. So explore ways that you can get involved with new Canadians. There's the All Nations Center in Edmonton that has great programs for new Canadians. You can join a local agency that's providing help for new Canadians. English is a second language. My sister is, and her husband both teach English as a second language in Red Deer. There are openings and opportunities for us to get to know these people and bring access to Jesus to them. Or perhaps God might lay it on your heart to explore ways that you personally can go to one of those areas where those red dots were in South Asia, North Africa, Middle East, where you personally could go. And there are opportunities for professionals, there are opportunities for missionaries, there are opportunities for teachers, there are opportunities for people from all walks of life who want to go there and represent Jesus in those cultures. If you're interested in that, please talk to Pastor Joel or myself. We'd be happy to help you with that. Friends, we have a huge injustice to make right. 30% of the population have access to Jesus and have all the resources. 40% of the population have access but have rejected Jesus. Europe falls into this category significantly. And 30% have no access. Very few resources to bring the message of Jesus to them. What does God want you to do about it?
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.